He had had enough. He had enough of people. He had enough of their rudeness. He had enough of the betrayal, the hurt that people caused him. And so one day, in 1990, Christopher Knight gathered up a few belongings, and he walked into the woods in Maine, determined to live a life of solitude. He was never going to see another person again. He lasted 27 years, never seeing another person, never having an interaction with a single person, until that day when the cops tracked him down and they arrested him. Because even though he hadn't been seeing anybody, he'd been breaking into the cabins in the woods in Maine, and he finally got caught. As they got to the police station, they interviewed him, obviously, and here's what Christopher said. He said, living in solitude, you do gain things. You gain perception. You're in tune with everything around you. But he said, what you don't understand is when you live in solitude, you lose a sense of belonging. And when you don't have a sense of belonging, he said, you lose an identity. And without an identity, you lose the audience that you're living for, the audience that you're performing for. And he said, in a lot of ways, in the last 27 years, he had become irrelevant. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe not irrelevant, but maybe you've had the feeling of, where do I belong? Where do I belong? And when we don't know where we belong, that affects our identity, and then it affects our purpose in life. It can happen at any point in your life, but there's generally seasons in life where this happens. You leave and you graduate high school and you leave for college, and you go by yourself. You're leaving where you belong, and now you don't know exactly where you belong. You're on this university, but what does that mean? What group do you belong to? You start dating, and then you're the first one in your group of friends to get married, and now there's kind of this transition period. It's weird because you're married, they're not. And so where do we exactly belong? Then you have kids, and you're the first one to have kids in your friends group, and you think, well, now where do I belong? Or all your friends are having kids and you don't. Where do I belong? It happens when you retire. Where do I belong? Can happen if you get laid off. Now what? There's all these different seasons in life where this happens, but it can happen at any time. And if we don't have that sense of belonging, we lose our sense of identity, and if we lose our sense of identity, we can lose our purpose and feel irrelevant. And if you ever felt that way, if you feel that way today, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here regardless if you've never felt that way or not. But I'm glad you're here because God's truths today, what we're going to look at in 1 Peter chapter 2, if we grasp what Peter is saying here, if we meditate on what the Apostle Peter has to say to you today, these wonderful truths, we will never have an identity crisis. We'll never have a question of where we belong. We'll never live without purpose in life because this is what God has given to you and to me. And that's what Peter wanted the Christians in the first century to know. 60 AD, Peter writes this letter to the Christians living in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And he writes to them because as a new sect of religion, so to speak, the Christians were threatening the Roman culture. And so what did the Romans do? They kept them out. They treated them as outcasts. They treated them as these weird strangers. They didn't give them any honor. They verbally persecuted them. They made fun of them. And eventually, in the next couple of years, it was actually going to lead to physical persecution where they'd be put to death for their faith. And so Peter writes this wonderful letter of the glorious hope that we have because of the resurrection. And in chapter 2, Peter says to these Christians, you don't fit in. That's okay, because there's a place you belong. Let's jump in. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. We're going to look at the first 8 verses here. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." Let's stop right there. If you were a Jew living in the first century, 60 AD, this would have been a very shocking section to read. And in order to understand the shock, we have to understand the Old Testament a little bit. 1000 BC, God, under King Solomon, said, build a temple. And so under King Solomon, God built his temple in Jerusalem, and he told the Israelites, this is where I dwell, in this building, in the back, in the Holy of Holies, this is where I dwell. If you want to come into my presence, you have to come here to the temple. If you want to make sure that you're right with me, you have to come to the temple and offer sacrifices. It was at the temple that there was a priest. And the priest represented God and made God's name great among the people. At the same time, the priest represented the people to God. And it's for this reason that for three times a year, the Jewish people had to make the pilgrimage back to Jerusalem to come into the presence of God, because it was at the temple where God dwelt. Now, what is Peter saying to the people? That God is in a building project. Look what he says. Verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. God is building his church, but it's not a physical building. It's a spiritual church. It's a spiritual building. And who is the cornerstone? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone that this church is being built on. Every building has that cornerstone. And it's that cornerstone that every other stone is lined up with. In God's church, that's true of Jesus. Every person, every stone that's built into this spiritual church, this building, is built on Jesus Christ. And who are the stones? You and me. We are the living stones built into this spiritual house of God. It's built on Jesus Christ. His word of his law goes out, cutting through every excuse of sin, cutting through every rationalization that we have of sin, cutting through cultural lies, and bringing the eternal truths of God's word and cutting through it all to mold us and to shape us into the living stone to be lined up with Jesus Christ. His word, the gospel, goes out and cuts through the lies that Satan tells you that you're worthless, that there's no hope for you, that you can't fit into that, can't fit in alignment with Jesus Christ. It's God's gospel that goes out and says, your sins are forgiven. You've been made holy. It's God's gospel that comes out and says, you are valuable, not because of what you offer, but because Jesus Christ valued you so much that he died for you and wants you to be part of this church, part of this building. It is Jesus Christ that this spiritual church is being built on, and we are the living stones built on Jesus Christ. You talk about belonging. We belong to not just a physical building, we belong to an eternal building. We belong to the Holy Christian Church, and that's your first point this morning. We belong to God's invisible church. Sometimes it's called the Holy Christian Church. Sometimes it's referred to the communion of saints, the joining together of holy ones. This is what we are. You belong to the church of God, and this church goes through all time. Since Jesus Christ, the church is being built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and you are members with every other Christian. You are being built into this spiritual house through your faith in Jesus Christ. Think of what this must have meant for the first century Christians. The Romans don't want to include you. That's okay. You're included in God's family, in God's church. They want to dishonor you. They want to shame you. They want to embarrass you because you believe in Jesus. That's okay. You belong to the house of God. You belong to the spiritual church of God built on Jesus Christ. You have a belonging. And that's true for you too. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your economic status. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your present. It doesn't matter your future. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you have a belonging, and it's to the church of God built on Jesus Christ that goes through all eternity. The mountains may fall into the sea. The earth may be shaken. The whole world will come to an end, but the church of God, this invisible holy Christian church, will last forever, and you are a part of it. You have belonging. There are two wonderful truths of what this means for you and what it means for us here at Divine Savior Church. Number one, everyone here has a place. It doesn't matter who walks through that door. It doesn't matter if you have no knowledge of the Bible. It doesn't matter if you have great knowledge of the Bible. It doesn't matter what nationality you come from. It doesn't matter your background. We all belong here because through faith in Jesus Christ, we belong to the Holy Christian Church. We have a belonging. None of us are loners. None of us, because of what we have or don't have in life, are disqualified. Through faith in Jesus, we belong. It also means that no matter where we go, God goes with us. Why? Because what does the church of God do? It houses God. God dwells within his church. And what are we? The living stones. We make up the building. It's almost like the Christian church is primed for persecution. Because it doesn't matter if you meet in a storefront. It doesn't matter if you meet in a school. It doesn't matter if you meet in a church with stained glass windows. It doesn't matter if you're in a hut. It doesn't matter if you're on a military base. It doesn't matter where you are. God is present with his people who make up the walls of his church. God is with us wherever we go. We belong to the house of God. Where are you looking for belonging? Where are you looking to fill that need of belonging? When you find it in the church of God, it will never change. When you find it in the church of God, it will never be shaken. When you find it in the church of God, it will never change on your season of life. You have a belonging, and it's to God's house, built on Jesus Christ. And when you build your life on him, notice what verse 6. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The world may embarrass us. The world may make fun of us. The world may say, I can't believe you believe in that. It's okay. Because when we stand before the gates of God, when we stand before Jesus in heaven, Jesus will not shame you. Jesus will not embarrass you. Jesus will say, welcome. Welcome to my home. Let me show you your room. You will never be put to shame. This is what you belong to, the eternal house of God built on Jesus Christ. That belonging now brings identity and purpose. Did you notice what Peter says? Verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is the second shocking thing for the Jewish person living in 60 AD. For the Israelites and the Jewish people, who were the priests? They came from the line of Levi. And they were the only ones who could serve as a priest, the only ones who could represent God to the people. the only ones who could make God's name great. And now Peter says, you Christians scattered in Asia Minor, guess what? You're part of a holy priesthood. You make up the priests of God. And that's true for you and me as well. When we belong to the house of God, when we belong to God's church, God says, now you're changed. Now I've changed you, and you are now a priest before God. And what does a priest do? Serve God and make his name great. Your second point today. We are priests in service to our God. We belong to God's church, and now we get to represent him, to make his name great. We get to serve him. We get to honor him and glorify him in this world. You see, priests, as priests, Peter says, don't seclude yourself. Don't be a Christopher Knight and go off into the woods. I know it's scary out there because the Romans don't want you, but go out and make my name great among the people. And that's what we get to do too. We get to represent God as his priests in this world to make his name great in the world. That's what Scottie Scheffler knows. Some of you may recognize that name. He just won the Masters a couple weeks ago, the Master Tournament, the golf tournament. He won his first Masters tournament 2 years ago in 2022. And in an interview after he won, he said going into that last day, the Masters goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, going into Sunday morning, he was in the mix for the lead, and he had a chance to win. And his wife told him before that round, she said, no matter what happens, whether you win this tournament, you lose by 10, even if you never win another tournament in your entire career, she said, nothing changes. She's told him, I love you, and more importantly, Jesus loves you. And then Scheffler looked at the reporter and said, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm here to glorify God the best that I can. Whether he won or he lost, he was going to glorify God. If he won, he won humbly. If he lost gracefully. He got to glorify God on one of the biggest stages in the golf tournament. And that's what you and I get to do too. We get to represent God in the world in our everyday life. We get to represent him in our careers. We get to represent him at home. We get to represent him at HEB. We get to represent him wherever we go. We get to represent him as his priest and glorify and honor him in the world and make his name great out there. So how are you doing? How are you making God's name great? Are you making God's name great? Or are you kind of blending in with society? When people look at you, can they tell that you're a Christian? When they look at you, your conduct, the way you talk, the way you act, is it glorifying God and representing him? Or could they not tell that you're a Christian? You all know I'm a pastor, obviously. Imagine this for a second. Imagine if you saw me out in public and I was walking down the sidewalk and you could tell immediately, Stephen App's drunk. Imagine if you saw me out in public and I was being extremely rude and talking down to somebody and being a jerk. Imagine if you were at a coffee shop and you saw me there and you overheard my conversation and I was gossiping about someone and just tearing someone down. What would you think? Probably that's pretty scandalous. Stephen, don't you know that you represent God? And yet what does a priest do? Represent God and make his name known. And what did Peter just say we all are? Part of the holy priesthood. When Peter writes this to the Christians living in 60 AD, he's not writing to pastors. He's not writing to priests serving at the temple. He's writing to Christians who are living their everyday life, going about their careers, going about their family, living in the cities that they are. And he says, you are part of a holy priesthood that gets to represent God to the world. How are we doing that? Would people be able to recognize that we're the priests of God? It's at this moment that we all have to reflect. It's at this moment that we're probably thinking, oh no, did I just get kicked out of the church of God? Did I just lose my belonging? That's what I love about the next verses. Let's jump into 9 through 12. Peter says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I love what Peter says. You are a chosen people. God says, I chose you. God chose you to be his own. You are part of that royal priesthood. You're not just in service to God, but you're royalty. And in order to be royalty, whose do you have to be? You have to be part of God's family because God's royalty. God's brought you into his family. You're part of that holy nation, that group of people who've had their sins washed away. And you are God's special possession. You are so special to God that he's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And what did it take to bring you out of darkness into his wonderful light? He didn't just say, hey, come here, come out of there. No, what did it take? It took Jesus Christ leaving the wonderful light of heaven and to dive in to the darkness of your sin, to dive into the darkness of death, to dive into the darkness of hell to rescue you from it. And he did it willingly, joyfully. And he did it. He brought you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And he looks at you and he says, you are forgiven. You are my special possession. You are my priest. Go and live to the glory of God. Go and make my name great in the world. Go and let people know that I'm a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of love and forgiveness. Go and make my name great. And how do we do it? How do we find the motivation? Because look how far he went to get me as his own. Man, this is who we are. We have a sense of belonging. We belong to the house of God. And God has made us his priest to go out into the world with a great purpose. We get to represent him to the nations. We get to represent him here in Liberty Hill. We get to represent him in our workplaces. We get to represent him in our homes to our kids. We get to represent him and glorify him in our words and actions. And so as we close up this morning, I want to give you two to-dos. Number one, belong. Belong. Here at Divine Savior Church, come and belong with us, because we belong to the house of God, and as we build our lives on Jesus Christ, so do you. And so you have a sense of belonging. Don't live as a loner. Come here. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how old or young, rich or poor. You belong here because we've built our lives on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of the Christian church. And if you have built your life on Jesus Christ, you belong here with the rest of us. Have that sense of belonging. And then go and be a priest. Proclaim God's name. Make his name great among the nations as we live in love, as we live and serve, as we live to the glory of God, who's made us belong, who's made us a priest, and now we get to represent him. Let's pray, asking God to bless us in this. Gracious Father in heaven, what love you have that you have called us out of darkness into your wonderful light. If we're honest, we have disqualified ourselves so many times to be into your house, to be part of this holy Christian church, and yet our qualification into the church isn't based on us. It's not based on performance. It's not based on what has happened to us or what we've done. It's based on Jesus Christ, who dove into the darkness of sin, death, and hell and rescued us from it. He has qualified us to serve and to be in your house. We're so thankful for that. We thank you that you have purified us from our sin and that we stand holy before you because of Jesus. Help us to have a sense of belonging. Let us welcome those around us as fellow Christians built on Jesus Christ. We ask you to let us help us to go out into the world and be priests. Let us represent you in this world. Let us make your name great among the nations because that is what you are. You are such a great and glorious God. You could make your name great by yourself, and yet what a privilege that we get to go out and do that and be that mouthpiece for you. We ask that we live such good lives among the world that they may see our good deeds and glorify you on the day that you visit us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.